Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our travel unit today. And, of course, I know that a lot of kids are still in school for the month of June. But, hey, when June gets done, when June is over, you can start summer vacation. Yeah!
Yay!
And you might want to consider going traveling. If you got a little bit of time and got a little bit of money, you could go all the way to Russia. Remember, Russia is famous for lots of things, including today's featured subject, St. Petersburg.
This is one country I've never been to.
Me neither.
Wow, I would like to see some of the places in Russia, actually. St. Petersburg is, of course, the most beautiful city in Russia.
But wait a minute, isn't it called Leningrad?
It was, yeah, when they were communist. They came out of that bad period of their history, communism, and they went back or reverted, that's another word, to revert. To revert back to something means you go back to your original name or original, I don't know, situation. Anyway, they reverted back to the original name of Leningrad, which is St. Petersburg. So we're going to take a look at their crown jewel. It's kind of fun.
Crown jewel, yes, the most wonderful part of something. Like the diamond in the crown of the king or the queen. So yes, indeed. Russia's got lots of wonderful things to check out, including St. Petersburg, Russia's crown jewel. Let's get to it. Here's today's article read from top to bottom. Astonishingly beautiful architecture and a rich cultural heritage are only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to describing St. Petersburg, Russia's most bewitching city. Founded in 1703 by Peter Alexeyevich Romanov, or Peter the Great, the city was transformed from a barren wasteland into a palatial seat of Imperial Russia in just a few short years. St. Petersburg boasts some of the grandest residences in Europe, and on the banks of the Neva River stands the most magnificent palace of all, the Winter Palace. Once the royal residence of the Romanov dynasty and its government, the Winter Palace is now the main part of the Hermitage Museum, one of the oldest and largest museums in the world. In fact, the brilliant green and white facade of the palace has remained unchanged since it was rebuilt after a fire in 1837. Accompanying the Winter Palace in its grandeur are 36 more palaces scattered throughout the city, including the famous Catherine Palace and Peterhof Palace, the latter of which features 150 fountains and numerous glittering statues over its sweeping grounds. The vivid colors of St. Petersburg's architecture are not limited to its palaces, however. The Church of Our Savior on Spilled Blood, built on the grounds where Tsar Alexander II was assassinated, dazzles visitors with its breathtaking hues and distinguishing motifs. Similarly, the golden domes of St. Isaac's Cathedral gleam in the summer sun of St. Petersburg's White Nights. It's little wonder that some of Russia's most prolific and renowned artists have chosen to dwell here. Attracted by St. Petersburg's astounding beauty and the many romantic waterways that crisscross the city, artists of every ilk have migrated to St. Petersburg for centuries, making it the beating heart of Russia's cultural landscape.
Okay, guys, we're going to focus today on St. Petersburg, which is considered to be the most beautiful city in Russia. So it's going to be kind of fun. It's very exotic to me to think of going to Russia because even, 25 years ago, you couldn't go to Russia very easily. And, of course, the Russians couldn't get out of the country either. They were stuck there because it was communist and they weren't free to travel wherever they wanted unless they had special permission. So we're going to take a look at their crown jewel. If you have something in your country or even something in your possession that you consider really precious, beautiful, that is really kind of priceless. You call it a crown jewel. It actually comes from the jewels that royalty actually wear or have in their crowns that either a king or a queen will wear. They have crowns. So those crowns have beautiful, real jewels in them. But it's turned into kind of a phrase we use to describe something that's priceless and beautiful.
Indeed, and of course, lots of people think of going to Moscow when they want to go to Russia and maybe see the Kremlin there, but I guess St. Petersburg has a lot more to offer than Moscow. Not to put down Moscow at all, but I guess this is quite a wonderful place to go see. At least according to our article here, It is the crown jewel of Russia. Now, here's the first paragraph. It says, astonishingly beautiful architecture and a rich cultural heritage are only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to describing St. Petersburg, Russia's most bewitching city. Okay, this is the introductory paragraph here, so it's kind of long here. In St. Petersburg, we've got astonishingly beautiful architecture. Architecture is just the style of the buildings, how they're built, what they look like. Not the individual buildings themselves, but just the general feeling of the architecture there, what they look like, the kinds of designs they feature. And if you say something astonishingly, that's an adverb here. It means something is astonishing, which means it really surprises you, it really impresses you, and you just stop there and your mouth drops and you go, wow, that is so astonishing, or that is so astonishingly beautiful.
That's right. We're talking about Russia having a rich cultural heritage. If you have a heritage, it's just kind of what you've inherited or picked up from previous generations in your family or even in your country. But every country, it seems, has different cultures depending on what type of people you're talking about, how many ethnicities they have. Well, in Russia, they have a rich cultural heritage, and their architecture there is just one part of that heritage. Heritage is not countable. It's a non-count word, so be careful with that. If you say something's the tip of the iceberg, it just means it's just the start of something. If you know about icebergs, you know there's just a little bit of the iceberg that's above the top of the water, so it emerges from the surface, and so you can't see that big piece of ice under the ocean's water. So if you say something's the tip of the iceberg, you're just telling someone a little bit of something. You could say, yeah, we're having a problem at school. You know, for one thing, we don't have enough teachers, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. So you probably have other problems in addition to not having enough teachers. So the architecture is just one part of their beautiful heritage. In St. Petersburg, they have more that we're going to talk about.
Indeed, and also this sentence describes St. Petersburg as a bewitching city. Bewitch as a verb means a witch actually casts a spell on you, uses some magic on you, and you are under the control of that witch. It's probably not a good thing, but here we're just describing some place as being bewitching when it just kind of casts a magic spell over you. Wow, this place is so cool. I am like in a spell.
Yeah, we often see those in fairy tales and things. But it's kind of fun to be somewhere that's beautiful. Now, it was founded back in 1703 by Peter Alexeyevich Romanov.
I think Alexeyevich.
Okay, I'll go with that.
An extra syllable in
there. Alexeyevich.
You'll have to ask somebody Russian for the exact pronunciation.
And I'm sure it's still going to sound different with their accent. So he actually had the very famous name Peter the Great. He was their leader. Now, the city was transformed from a barren wasteland into a palatial seat of Imperial Russia in just a few short years. So he was a leader, an emperor at that point. They changed after they had their revolution and became a communist country. But when you have a lot of money and an emperor or royalty, they often have these beautiful castles and homes where they live. Well, his place was pretty big. The whole city was beautiful. When he first got there, it was described as being barren. If a place is barren, it has nothing there. It's even very hard for plants and trees to grow, so it's kind of ugly. So it was transformed from being this ugly wasteland where no one wanted to be into a palatial seat. Palatial is the adjective word of palace. And it's where Imperial Russia was. And it happened, this transformation, that is, happened in just a few short years. It was quick.
Indeed, and St. Petersburg boasts some of the grandest residences in Europe. It has them in great number. A residence is a place where someone lives, especially if it's somebody important or rich or powerful. And on the banks of the Neva River stands the most magnificent palace of all, the Winter Palace. So it's on the banks of the Neva River. That's just the side of the river. And it's the Winter Palace. And once the royal residence of the Romanov dynasty and its government, the Winter Palace is now the main part of the Hermitage Museum. This is kind of tricky here. This word is pronounced different ways. I looked this up in the dictionary, and it said Hermitage, but Stephanie's been there, and she said they call it the Hermitage Museum?
Hermitage, yeah.
Hermitage, okay. So
I haven't been there, but it's often a museum that's talked about on programs, and especially news programs that I've seen, because they have a lot of beautiful art there. So it's kind of cool, kind of a place that you definitely want to go check out.
Indeed. So that, of course, was the seat of the Romanov dynasty. And also, this is part of the Hermitage Museum, one of the oldest and largest museums in the world. And in fact, the brilliant green and white facade of the palace has remained unchanged since it was rebuilt after a fire way back in 1837. So this particular museum has a green and white facade. That's just the front part of a building, the face of a building.
Yeah. And sometimes if they're making a movie, they will build the set where the actors will act, and they'll often have these fake fronts on buildings. There's nothing behind the front of the building for movies. Those are called facades because it's fake. So it's pretty beautiful. Green and white's very different, too, for a palace. But it's remained unchanged since it was rebuilt after a fire back in 1837. We're going to talk more about this beautiful city, St. Petersburg. But first, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要去参观的地方呢，是位于 Russia, 也就是俄国的 St. Petersburg, 圣彼得堡。首先来看一下第一句来形容这个地方。Astonishingly beautiful architecture and a rich cultural heritage are only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to describing St. Petersburg, Russia's most bewitching city.这句很长，我们首先来看到它用 astonishingly 来修饰后面的 beautiful architecture， 也就是说到呢，它的这个建筑物呢是令人大为惊奇的美丽。除此之外呢，还有着丰盛的文化遗产 heritage， 指的呢就是遗产的意思。当然呢，当我们描述圣彼得堡，这些东西都只是冰山一角而已。在英文里面呢，我们说 the tip of the iceberg 指的呢就是冰山一角，或者延伸的用法就是说到重要的情况只显露出来的一小部分。另外提醒同学的是，在这个句子当中的 when it comes to 后面要加的是名词或者是动名词，中文解释成为一谈到、一提到。那么在1703年所建筑的这个圣彼得堡呢，我们来看一下它还有哪一些特别的地方。在第一段的中间提到 St. Petersburg boasts some of the grandest residences in Europe and on the banks of the Neva River stands the most magnificent palace of all, the Winter Palace。在这里提到了 boast 这个动词，如果它当作是不及物动词，后面常常会看到加一个介系词 of， 也就是有夸耀或自吹自擂的意思。举个例子来说， The captain is always boasting of his great achievement。 这个船长啊，老是自夸着他伟大的成就。不过在这一句的用法呢， boast 是当作及物动词，解释成为以拥有什么东西为自豪。举例来说，我们学校的图书馆以藏有好多珍本书而自豪，那么英文就可以说 Our school library boasts quite a few rare books。 而在圣彼得堡呢，它则是以拥有欧洲一些最宏伟的住所而自豪。这里的 residence 指的就是住所咯。在逗号 and 后面的句子要注意，它是一个倒装句，真正的主词是在后面的 the most magnificent palace of all, the winter palace。为了避免句子有头重脚轻的感觉，所以把地方副词 on the banks of the Neva River 把它移到前面来了，所以这里的主词要配合第三人称单数，动词使用的是 stands。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the grandeur of St. Petersburg, Russia's crown jewel, and we talked about some of the large buildings there. We've got a big palace there. We've got a big museum. And in the next paragraph here, it says, accompanying the Winter Palace in its grandeur are 36 more palaces scattered throughout the city, including the famous Catherine Palace and Peterhof Palace, the latter of which features 150 fountains and numerous glittering statues over its sweeping grounds. My goodness, that is a very long sentence here. It tells us all sorts of things about what is in St. Petersburg. So first of all, accompanying the Winter Palace. Accompany usually means to go along with something, but here it just says along with or in addition to the Winter Palace. In its grandeur are 36 more palaces scattered throughout the city. Grandeur is just magnificence. It's really great, and it's really awesome and very, very impressive.
And if things are scattered somewhere, it just means there's here one and there and everywhere. You could say we have convenience stores scattered around Taiwan or even Starbucks, you know.
Yeah.
They also, this place includes the famous Catherine Palace. She was part of royalty back then, and Peterhof Palace. They had their own palaces. I love that.
Cool.
It says the latter of which features 150 fountains, which is just a water fountain we're talking about, and numerous glittering statues over its grounds. When you talk about the latter, it means the last thing you refer to in a sentence. So we're not talking about Catherine Palace having these fountains and statues. We're talking about the Peterhof Palace, which is the last of the two they mentioned. So that's a lot of fountains and numerous glittering statues. I have noticed they really like fountains, especially in Europe. So glittering just means very shimmery, shiny. We often talk about the stars glimmering at night. And these are statues of people that they have on the grounds. Sweeping means very large and expansive. That's all that means.
So that palace has a lot of fountains and statues if you're into that sort of thing. And the vivid colors of St. Petersburg architecture are not limited to its palaces, however. So, yes, indeed, you've got all sorts of colors there. Also, we've got the Church of Our Savior on Spilled Blood. Ooh, that sounds like a pretty gross title here. Mm. It's built on the grounds where Tsar Alexander II was assassinated.
Wow.
It dazzles visitors with its breathtaking hues and distinguishing motifs. So here we're talking about a czar here. That's like the former emperor of Russia. There were different ones. This particular czar, sometimes spelled T-S-A-R, T-Z-A-R. You see those different kinds of spellings.
Yeah.
Alexander II. He was killed by somebody. When somebody kills somebody, especially if they're a political person, they are assassinated, like John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas way back in 1963.
True. This particular church, it says dazzles visitors because it has breathtaking hues and distinguishing motifs. If you dazzle somebody, you kind of amaze them, you overwhelm them with something that's pretty impressive. Maybe it's because what you're doing, a skill or a talent you have, is impressive. Or maybe what you're wearing is very impressive and shiny and glimmering or glittering. You could say glittering there, too. It dazzles visitors. Why? It's got breathtaking hues. Hue is just a word we use for different colors, different shades of colors. So there are beautiful colors there, and distinguishing, or things that really stand out. A motif is some sort of decorative pattern or design that will keep coming up in different kinds of art or architecture. For example, Gothic architecture has motifs that everyone can recognize that studies that particular, you know, type of architecture. So it's really quite beautiful and something you don't want to miss, it sounds like.
Indeed. I could say, for example, that a lot of buildings in Bali have Hindu motifs, Hindu designs and stuff like that. And similarly, the golden domes of St. Isaac's Cathedral gleam in the summer sun. These are domes, of course, the round things on top of a building. And, of course, the sun shines on them. They're gold, so they gleam. That means something glows, basically, during the daytime.
Shiny, yeah.
And they gleam in the summer sun of St. Petersburg's White Knights, which we're going to get to a little later on here. What exactly are the White Knights? Well, we'll talk about that in our program next time. But moving on now to the next paragraph, it says, it's little wonder that some of Russia's most prolific and renowned artists have chosen to dwell here. It's little wonder, it's no wonder, it's not surprising that some of the most prolific writers and artists have decided to dwell or live in St. Petersburg. These are prolific artists. Prolific means you produce a lot of stuff.
I have to say with that phrase, little wonder, we will use that in our writing more than our speaking.
Okay.
If we're speaking, we're probably going to say it's no wonder. But it's little wonder sounds a little bit more, I think, classy. It sounds more like written English.
Mm.
It's beautiful. So it's little wonder that some of the most prolific artists that they have chosen to live there. You want to live somewhere where you're surrounded by beauty if you are an artist, I know. We would all like that, I'm sure. Prolific means someone who has produced a lot of works. If you're constantly writing books or writing songs and you're just sitting there doing nothing, you're prolific. Renowned means famous. So they've got a lot of very famous artists who have chosen to live in St. Petersburg. If you dwell somewhere, it just means you live there. Again, it's more written English than spoken English. I wouldn't say, I dwell in Taiwan.
No.
It's a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah, dwell. Okay. And moving on now to the next paragraph, it says, attracted by St. Petersburg's astounding beauty and the many romantic waterways that crisscross the city, artists of every ilk have migrated to St. Petersburg for centuries, making it the beating heart of Russia's cultural landscape. So basically this sentence is telling us that St. Petersburg has really great beauty and it's got these waterways. So because of that, artists from all over the place and different kinds of artists have just come there for a very long time. That's a summary of that sentence, but let's break it down a little bit more. Attracted by St. Petersburg's astounding beauty. Astounding just means really impressive, very notable. You can have some astounding views, for example. If you go to Cultural University on Yangmingshan, you can have some astounding views of the city below. And also we've got these waterways. Are they kind of like canals or something?
Yeah, we talk about waterways oftentimes when we're referring to those canals, where sometimes you can actually put a gondola, a type of boat that you'll find in Venice, Italy. Those are waterways that crisscross the city. So probably a lot of rivers, I'm sure rivers, canals, either one. They have a lot of water there, which is surprising. I always think of Russia as being dry. Crisscross means going back and forth where two of these rivers or waterways will go across each other. They crisscross the city, so you have artists of every ilk who've migrated there. Ilk. Every ilk. Ilk is a weird word too, but we use it again more in writing. But it's a type of people or things that are similar to those that you've referred to. So artists of every kind. You could have musical artists, movement artists. Those are dancers, you know.
Impressionists, stuff like that. Cubists, whatever. Classical artists. Yeah, every kind of artist.
But it doesn't have to be visual art, Tom. That's what I was saying. It could be movement where dancers, singers, performers.
Yeah, the word artist can apply to all sorts of people.
Yes.
Usually, though, when you hear the word artist, you think of a painter, but it's not necessarily only referring to that.
I hope not.
But in any case here, they have migrated to St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
To migrate just means to move from one place to another, like migrating birds, for example, in in the fall in Taiwan, there are birds migrating from China or Siberia, passing through Taiwan. And in, what is it, March or so, the black-faced spoonbill migrates to Taiwan from Korea or some islands near Korea or something like that.
Yeah.
So people have been migrating to St. Petersburg for centuries.
That's true. And that's made it the beating heart of Russia's cultural landscape. It's always nice if your city has a lot of artists there because it turns out to be a more artistic city and people are probably expecting more beautiful views. They've got beautiful landscapes in Russia. Here we're talking about the cultural landscape. So there's a lot to see and do. There's opera, there's ballet, there's beautiful art in that Hermitage Museum as well. Right now we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
接下来我们要看的是第二段的第一个句子。Accompanying the Winter Palace in its grandeur are 36 more palaces scattered throughout the city, including the famous Catherine Palace and Peterhof Palace, the latter of which features 150 fountains and numerous glittering statues over its sweeping grounds. 又是一个很长的句子。首先我们要来看一下 accompany 其实就是有伴随陪伴的意思。这一句的主词呢是在后面的36 more palaces。在这36个更多的其他的宫殿呢就散布在这整座城市当中。我们在这里使用的 scatter 是以被动的方式来讲这些宫殿散布在这个城市当中，然后呢就伴随着壮观的东宫。除此之外，后面还加上有两个非常有名的，一个叫做 Catherine Palace， 另外一个就是 Peterhof Palace。再来，逗号后面写着 the latter of which。要注意的是 which 代替前面所提到的专有名词，这两个宫殿当中顺序比较后面的，所以我们用的是 latter L-A-T-T-E-R， 那么指的就是 Peterhof Palace， 它则是有150座喷泉，还有很多闪闪发亮的雕像，遍及绵延的庭园。在这里的 sweeping 其实当作形容词就解释成为广阔的意思。接着我们来看到最后一段。 It's little wonder that some of Russia's most prolific and renowned artists have chosen to dwell here. 在这里的 It's little wonder that 或者是你看到 It's small wonder that 就等于 It's no wonder that 中文解释成为难怪。难怪咯，这个地方这么的美，所以俄国一些最富有创造力以及最有声望的艺术家就选择居住在这里咯。最后一句我们来看一下后半段。 Artists of every ilk have migrated to St. Petersburg for centuries, making it the beating heart of Russia's cultural landscape. 几个世纪以来，这些艺术家们他们就移居到了圣彼得堡，使它成为俄国文化风景的脉动。在这里的 migrate 当作动词就有移居、迁居的意思。OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解。谢谢收听。
That is it for today's lesson, but if you are interested in learning more about St. Petersburg, then tune in to our program next time. We'll be more than happy to discuss it then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.